Welcome to Penguin Radio, the official radio program of Dominican University of California. We are going to listen to Royal Music with your host, DJ Kylo. You're listening us on radio.dominican.edu 102.3. Today, we are going to take a listen to our program, Royal Music, about Bob Marley. But first of all, let's listen to two commercials.
Did You Know is brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU, did you know that the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is coming up in April? What's that? The Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is an opportunity for Dominican students to practice their presentation skills by showcasing their senior capstone research projects to a live audience.
Is there any way this can help me after college?
Let's ask Professor Bill Phillips, one of the founders of the conference.
Presenting yourself in this manner is very good experience, because when you go out on the job market, you have to present yourself and you have to have confidence when you do it. This is just one more way of getting that confidence.
Along with Professor Bill Phillips, Michael Pujols is one of the other founding members of the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference. Can you tell us about Dominican Scholar?
The role of Dominican Scholar is we're taking the conference schedule, we're putting online in Dominican Scholar, and then we're also, if students want to, and of course, you know, with their faculty advisor permission, we can also upload the posters, we can upload their presentations or slide sets, you know, what have you. So Dominican Scholar plays the electronic role as far as getting the conference out there and making it available to the public.
Is there anything you would like to add, Professor Phillips?
It's a celebration of the capstone project that all students are working on. And it's a privilege to present your research and to have other people see what you're doing, because it's a culmination of your academic experience here at Dominican. And you should be able to be on a platform where you could just show off the stuff that you've done.
How can I find out more information?
The link for Dominican Scholar is scholar.dominican.edu.
Find out more information at scholar.dominican.edu. See ya!
If you're looking for a fun way to get away from the grind of homework and quizzes, then the California Film Institute has you covered. One of the largest nonprofit film organizations in the Bay Area, the CFI proudly owns and operates the Christopher B. Smith Rafael Film Center on 4th Street in downtown San Rafael. The Rafael Theater is open year-round and is home to the prestigious Mill Valley Film Festival and the Docklands Documentary Film Festival. The Rafael's catalog of films include award-winning independent dramas, shocking and revealing documentaries, the best in world cinema, rare retrospectives, along with opera and ballet performances presented live on screen. The Smith Rafael Film Center is located at 1118 4th Street in San Rafael between A and B Streets. The Smith Rafael Film Center is the perfect place to start a romantic evening or to decompress with a group of friends. To keep up with everything happening at the Rafael, please visit our website at rafaelfilm.org. Sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
So here we go, let's take a listen to the first song of our catalog today. We're going to take a listen to No Woman No Cry by Bob Marley, a live version that he did in 1975.
Thank you.
So here we are with the history of Bob Marley. Bob Marley was born in 1945. He has been one of the greatest musicians of all time. He was the head, still is the head of the reggae music. Reggae music, which is very different from what the majority of people know and knew back then. Reggae music is completely the opposite of what pop music could be seen as today, because it was basically simple. The whole point of reggae music is to be simple, to be in some way poor, because it was born in poor countries and in poor situations, even though today it has developed in so many different ways that are not directly connected with what it was in the beginning. So Bob Marley has been and still is the head of reggae music. He has been the one who made it famous in the world, and from where then all the different kind of genre of reggae music have developed. Before him, no one really knew what it was. It was something well known only in the Caribbean. He was from Jamaica, and so let's start with his story. He was born in a very difficult situation where he was his father, he has never really loved his mother. It was just something that was the momentum of the day, if we can say that like that. So Marley has never known his father. He grew up without being very, very rich in Kingston, which is one of the main cities of Jamaica. And in that period, he got to know Bunny Livingston, who was one of the musicians that brought Marley to love music around when he was 15. The music formation of Marley was in a context of poverty, but you know, he got to know a lot of great music still, thanks to a very old radiophonic machine. He got to know things like rhythm and blues, Ray Charles and Elvis Presley too. With this very big mix, he started knowing what music was, and started playing with Bunny Livingston and Joe Higgs, who was like a very devoted Rastafarianism. And in some way, this Joe Higgs is seen today as one of Bob Marley's big mentors. During a jam session, Higgs and Livingston, Marley got to know also Peter Mintosh, who then became Peter Tosh, because it was like very difficult surname, McIntosh. And this Peter McIntosh was the one who got so big musical ambitions that then convinced Bob to record the first music. Then with all these people, Marley, Livingston, Peter Tosh, they did The Wailers. The Wailers was the group that not a lot of people know that Bob Marley was in. And from here they started recording music and putting out there. Then Marley became one of the Rastafarian. Then he had a lot of children. The most well-known are Ziggy Marley, Steven Marley, and Damian Marley, who today are very famous artists. And then during the 70s was the period where when he became a very big name with No Woman No Cry that we have listened to. The reason why Bob Marley died wasn't for weed, even though a lot of people think that it was for that. He died because of cancer, but it was something that started on one of his feet, I'm sorry, and was a melanoma, so a problem that started from the skin. And it was something that was that he inherited from his father. So if we take a listen to his music, it's definitely reggae, but at the same time there is a lot of I say soul, but it's not soul. There is a lot of soul in the meaning that there is a lot of intensity in it. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. No one but herself can free our own minds. It's redemption songs. One of his most famous pieces. And this is like the reason why his song, I think, touched so many people. It wasn't just music, it was intensity, it was soul, in meaning that there was a lot of soul in his music. And I don't have any other way to describe it. And in some way everyone can understand what it is, you know. When you get deep into different genres, it's difficult to understand the genre and love it as it is sometimes. But there are songs that are so universal, so generally recognized as good and simple, that outside of the genre, they are so great songs. And Bob Marley was one of these great artists who was able to take a song, a reggae music song, take it and give it to the audience and tell them, yes, it is reggae, but it's first of all a great song. So everyone could actually enjoy that, even people who didn't really wear sensitive to reggae music. He died in 1980, the same year in which John Lennon died. Not in 1980, in 81 actually. But it's kind of strange, like they were so similar. And so many things. Yeah. Marley too used to use his music to, inspire people to be better and to be good in general, as Lennon in some way used to do. And honestly, yeah, but I mean, like, I will tell about this later. Now we're going to listen to One Love, the song that I started to learn about Bob Marley with. Yeah. So, at this point, we talked about a lot about his life, even though there are a lot of things that actually we went over. But there is so much to talk about that we can't deal with everything in just this hour and listen to the music too. So, if we want to define reggae music, even though I know that especially people who are really into reggae music will hate this. The thing is that when we deal with reggae, we are talking about something that was from Jamaica and was something that that it's so... there are so many versions of it that people will definitely always argue about what it is and how it is, how it was born, who was the main head of this, even though it is generally seen Bob Marley as the godfather of it. If we take rock music, for example, what reggae did was to change the role of the bass and one of the guitar, and in this case, and this is like guitar was the main instrument of this of rock music. In one of the first sessions that we can hear, listen to, in this new kind of genre, the organ and the guitar, the rhythmic guitar, were used to create another kind of sound. And this is what reggae is. Even though now reggae has a lot of rhythm in it. So what you can see is that, especially like in the singing too, there is this rhythm that is very relaxed. Then there is the organ, the rhythm guitar. The people who sing usually use like a sort of R&B singing. And all this gets you in a mood of very relaxed mood. Even though there is like this new kind of genre reggae, if we take a listen to Rihanna and other people who take reggae and do a dancehall kind of reggae, the name of it, reggae, was born from the name of the song "Do the Reggae," even though the name "Wrecked" was this kind of dance and music, which had its, you know, origin in some kind of R&B that was around in New Orleans. Though a lot of people think that reggae actually comes from regga, which is the name of a language. That was used near the Tanganyika Lake in Africa. Other people think that is some sort of use of the word "strege," which in the slang of Kingston, Jamaica, was the name given to prostitutes. so Bob Marley and used to think that the origins was Spanish, and was the meaning was the music of the king. So I mean, everyone has a very different opinion at this point. Now we're going to listen to another song from Bob Marley, and then we're going to talk about what kind of relationship there is between reggae and the actual religion that is Rastafarianism. We're going to listen to One Love. At this point, I will listen to One Love. I would also like to underline the fact that there is a song, and this is the actual way that I actually started to listen to him. He did this song in which there was Paul McCartney showing up. And I was a very big fan of the Beatles in those days. And I remember that there was this girl that I used to like, was so much into reggae music. And for me it was something new because like we in Italy don't listen to reggae that much. There are some people who listen to that, but it's not that much, you know, a thing. I mean, in this last couple of years, a lot of people are starting to listen to that, but generally people don't listen to that here. It's just, I don't know why, a culture, I don't know. And there was this girl who used to tell me that because her parents used to listen to that a lot, she started to listen to it. And so I just wanted to know what it is, what it was. Then I don't remember how I end up seeing that, you know, Paul McCartney was in one of his videos. So I went to see it, to watch it, and it was actually like that. So I was so happy because when big names come together for one thing is so cool. Then I actually understood that Bob Marley and Paul McCartney didn't have any actual relationship in it. It's just that when he died, Paul McCartney wanted to join the video to, you know, show that he actually was a fan of him, which was true. I mean, I remember a lot of times Paul McCartney saying in the 70s that he was listening to reggae music a lot because Linda, his wife, used to say that she was in love with reggae music a lot. And so One Love was the song, I mean, that I started to listen to, which I started to listen to Bob Marley. Then songs like Could You Be Loved came, of course, and Jamming, and a lot of things like that, which I have to say is not that easy. Like, even if you, from a musician point of view, reggae is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And I mean, like, it's a simple music because it doesn't have that much around that. But the simple, the few things that are in the music are used in a very specific way, I think. And the fact that it's so free in the way that it expresses the feeling of the one that is making the music, I think it's a very difficult thing to do. If you take a listen to Rihanna, for example, who is, I think, the greatest, the most famous, at least, Bob Marley fan, the one who can, you know, reach more people when talking about Bob Marley. She does reggae music sometimes, and she was a very big fan of him. But she does completely different stuff. Like, her reggae music is very different from what Bob Marley used to do. And it doesn't have that kind of soul that Bob Marley used to put in his music. Again, it's very, very difficult. If we take a listen to some of the reggae music that is today, we can definitely understand that. But before that, I just want to talk about Rastafarianism. Rastafarian is this kind of religion that sees the king, Haile Selassie, who was the king of Ethiopia, who was invaded by Italy in 1936, he decided to want that he wanted to be in exile until, I mean, Italy was, you know, out of Ethiopia when the United Kingdom regained control of Africa. It gave the empire back to the king. I am very ignorant about it, but at the same time, I kind of understand the fact that people this kind of thinking that this man was some sort of savior and some sort of reincarnation of Jesus Christ. I kind of understand that people are so into this, but I don't understand why people think this. And at the same time, you know, I mean, this is religion. I don't want to give like my full opinion about it because I don't want to. I want to be very respectful of other people's beliefs. But it's just, you know, there is this kind of relationship between Africa, the religion of Africa, and reggae. If you take a look at the color used in reggae, for example, even though, I mean, like, the colors are the one of the Ethiopian flag, green, yellow, red. You know, Africa is, I mean, it still is the center of the reggae music in a certain way. The color that you can see in Africa, in the dresses that people use, in the way of dancing, and the culture is very, very similar to the one that reggae people, you know, try to portray it. If you take a look, for example, of the kind of dreads generally are used to recreate the fur of the male lion, of the crown of the king, you know. We're always about that. And this is something very cool, I have to say. I remember it was one of the people who knew Bob Marley in the last years of his life saying that because of cancer, he had to, you know, do chemotherapy. And because of it, he used to lose all his hair. And it was very, very different. And it was very sad because of this. Because, like, people who... that wasn't only a fashion thing. That had a very strong meaning for him. And I think it's very, very interesting. Again, like, my personal opinion, like, I don't want to say things, but at the same time, I just want to say this, like, having that kind of relationship with a part of your body is something that I think it's too much sometimes. Religion shouldn't be that kind of, you know, far. And also, if you take a listen to what he used to talk about, he used to say a lot of very good things about, you know, materialism, about money, about society, about peace. But at the same time, I think that sometimes he used to be a bit too extreme with different things. I'm one of the people who strongly rely on science. And for example, a lot of doctors say that weed doesn't cause any problems to your system. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of countries are legalizing it. But it's true too that we still haven't had enough time to study all the kind of things that it does to your body. So I think, yeah, it is definitely better than cigarettes, of course. But at the same time, I'm one of those people who says, I think that the best way to live for you is just to be natural without having to put a lot of things into your body, which is one of the main points of the whole thing. Like, a lot of, even him used to say, this is a plant, God gave us this plant so we can smoke this plant, which is, I mean, it makes total sense. It's still like nature, which is definitely better than, you know, putting chemicals in it and doing other things. But at the same time, I think that we still have to study the phenomena itself. Now, talking about reggae music again and him, I want to take a listen to a song, which is one of the today's example of reggae. It's very different from what Bob Marley used to do. But this gives some kind of example of the evolution the reggae has had in time. My personal opinion is that this girl has a lot of, I think she will have a bright future if she continues something like this. She did a song called Rapture. She is called Coffee. The song was called Toast. Anyway, to conclude this episode, We're going to listen to one of his songs, one of my probably my favorite one from his old catalog, that is called I Shot the Sheriff. And this will be a live version that he did. And just to give the last part of it, I Shot the Sheriff, it's a very controversial song, because the thing is that when he did that, there is another very, very famous guy, quite known, yes, called Harry Clapton, who decided to do a cover of that, and the cover became way more famous than the original one. Then people started to give attention to the original one. Personally, I think that what Marley did was way better than Clapton version. Without taking anything like from Clapton, his version was very good, but I mean, what Marley did in his version was so cool. Like, for example, for giving you guys an example of what I mean, when you search for it on the internet, you can see that there is no, when you write I Shot the Sheriff, the first result comes from the version of Eric Clapton, not from the one who wrote the songs and recorded it. It's very strange. Before closing, I also want to say that we will have next episode, which will be about Ed Sheeran, great artist of today. Thank you for having been with us. We're going to listen to the last song, I Shot the Sheriff, by Bob Marley, a live version that he did back in 1979.